This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the Old Trailblazer Broadcast originates. And we're bringing you another study. We have been for a few days now. We're on this subject, the soon coming of our blessed Lord. And we're looking now at the reality of His coming. In our last study, we spoke to you just a moment or two about that great scene that we saw there in heaven. Let's go back there and look again. It won't hurt us to do that, will it? Many times we pass over God's Word so quickly, so rapidly. Let's go back there in the days when the Jewish people, under the leadership of Moses, were encamped there in the wilderness. That's a great story. I wish you'd go there and read it. Take your Bible and read that whole story about the deliverance of the children of Israel from the Egyptian bondage, crossing the Red Sea. But we see them there in the wilderness. And the tabernacle had been built and set up, and the glory of God had filled the tabernacle. The shine of glory overshadowed the mercy seat, and the Day of Atonement had come. This was a high day, a great day. And we see Aaron, Moses' brother, the high priest, bring forth a sacrificial goat for the sin offering. The offering was slain, the blood taken, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat. The blood made an atonement and reconciled the people ceremonially to God. All of this is ceremonial, my friend. Covered their sins typically in his sight. This was called the Great Day of Covering. Then the high priest took a live goat, called a scapegoat, confessed upon it the sins of the people, handed it over to a chosen man called a fit man, or the man of opportunity. This man put a rope around this live goat's head, led it away into the part of the country which was uninhabited. In other words, he led it out of the sight of the people. While he was gone, the people stood in the doors of their tent, waiting for his return. They expected him to come back. They believed he would come back. They knew he would come back. Soon they saw him coming, and when they did, there arose a shout of rejoicing. They knew that for another year, the people were ceremonially secured or cleansed from judgment, and that they could enjoy the fellowship of God. Now, my friend, this is a picture, a beautiful picture of our blessed Lord. Yonder there on Calvary's cross, outside the city gate, outside the city wall, our Lord Jesus Christ died as the great sin offering. He was our sin offering, my friend. I talk with many people here and there and yonder, and they have no idea, no clue of what salvation means. We have degenerated into a decisionism for Jesus, trust Jesus and be saved. And our folks who are coming up now, many of them are already in old age, have never heard the great old preaching of God's Word. Speaking of a sin offering, did you know how a sinner is saved, my friend? There's a sin offering. There's been a sin offering. Christ took our place. When he cried out with a loud voice there on the cross, "It is finished," it was announced that his covenant promise with the Father had been kept, that he had fulfilled the type and the symbol of that scene there in the wilderness at the tabernacle. Go there and read that portion of God's Word setting forth in the tabernacle there in the wilderness, and then go there and read in the four Gospels the crucifixion. Go there and read where it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then go there and read where it says, it is finished. Once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once our Lord Jesus Christ was both the offering, the sacrifice, and the high priest. As the high priest, he arose and carried his own blood within the upper veil. Oh, listen now. Listen, someone wrote me the other day wanting to know what it meant about the veil was being rent in twain there in the scriptures. And maybe you are not aware of that. But my friend, when the spirit left our Lord's body, when his spirit left him, he passed by the tabernacle, passed by the synagogue, where the veil separated the most holy from the people. And the Lord, with his hand, I believe, rent that veil, or split that veil. No longer was the mercy seat hidden from the people. No longer do we have to have a high priest to take the blood. My friend, if you're worshiping where you have to go through a man, that's a misnomer, my friend. Oh, listen, there on the altar, he fulfilled. That atonement was fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ ascended there as the chosen man. We thank the Lord, and I praise him that he's coming back one day. Our sacrifice now is within the veil, the heavenly veil. Our sins have been put away, and our gaze is born again. Our gaze as born again believers is now turned toward heaven itself. And we are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come the second time as the chosen man or the fit man. And as Paul writes to the Hebrews, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, that is, without a sin offering unto salvation. He's not coming back the second time as a sin offering. No, he came the first time as our offering. And the second time he comes, he will not have the sin offering. Brother, this guarantees to every born-again believer, every child of God who claims him as sacrificed, as a sin offering, as his scapegoat, as his substitute, as his redeemer, that he's coming back for his own. My friend, let me ask you this morning, or tonight, whenever you hear the old Trailblazer broadcast, what does Christ mean to you, my friend? Can I ask you that question? Do you just have a little head knowledge that one day Jesus was born in a stable there in Bethlehem, and so on, and he was lived a good life and was killed? Is that all you know, my friend? Don't you understand? Can't you understand that our Lord came as was prophesied, as a babe in Bethlehem, surely, and he lived 30 years on this earth, but He began to preach and to teach the gospel. And listen, then he went to be our sacrifice. My sacrifice. Let's make it personal. Thank the Lord he's my scapegoat. Took away my sin. He's my substitute. Do you know anything about a substitute, my friend? A substitute. A substitute. One who died in my place. I know that I told this story many, many months ago on this broadcast, but maybe you never heard it. Back there during the days of the Civil War, when our young men were killing each other in the North and in the South, in one of the great battles there was a group of young Confederate soldiers taken because they were captured. And they were scheduled to be shot at a firing squad because they were actually in treason against the government. And they were rebels. That's right, they were rebels. And one of the men that was scheduled to be executed had a wife and six children back home down here in the South somewhere. And one of the young men there in the same section asked his commanding officer, said, "Sir, this man has a wife and six children. Could I take his place? Could I be shot for him?" Now, my friend, you think that may be funny. But, oh, what love. What love. And the officer said, "I've never had such a request. I'll have to go higher up." And he did. And the story goes that he got permission to let this man stand in for this old soldier. And he was executed. Time went on. The war was over. This man went back home to his wife and family. And years later, when things got where he could, he took his family up there somewhere where the battle was held. And he said, I want to tell you all this story. And they found the old graveyard out there on the hill somewhere. And there he found a little marker where this young man had died, where he had given his life for this man. And he raked all the trash and the debris off of the little mound and scraped off the word, the lettering on the little cross there. And he began to mound up the mound and clean off the bushes and the briars and his children. He's all around there. They're pretty well grown now. And he began to cry, and he said, this man took my place. This young soldier took my place. He took your dad's place. And here's where he's buried. And I'll never forget him. I'll never get over the fact that you have your father and your wife, your husband, because of this man's giving his life for me and for you in essence. And my friend, that's what happened when Christ died. He gave his life for me and for you if you know him. Oh, listen. Let me say this. Living, he loved me. We have a song by this word. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified me. Praise the Lord, he's coming back. Coming back for me. Coming back for you if you know him. Yes, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, my friend, that's what we're speaking of here, the soon coming of our blessed Lord. Now, is it just an event? No, sir. It's not an event. It's Christ coming back. He's in heaven, my friend. He's at the right hand of his Father, interceding, making intercession for you and for me. But I like to think about his dying. He died there on the cross like that old scapegoat did there in the wilderness. He died alone. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But you know one of the other things he said while he was on the cross, it blesses my own heart. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And my friend, that was me one day. I was a sinner, lost in sin, hell-bent and hell-bound. No man could tame me. But the Lord, by his Holy Spirit one day, shot the arrow of conviction home to my own heart and led me to see that I was in rebellion against God. I was a sinner, lost and undone, with no hope and no care for my soul. But he began to show me my own heart, the wickedness of it, how that it was me. I was one of those who stood there at the cross. I was one of those who flung the spear into his side. I was one of those who mocked him. I was one of those who put the lash on his back. I was one of those who scorned him and said, Hail, King of the Jews, if thou be the Christ, come down, save thyself and us. I was one of those. But my friend, the Lord forgave me of all of those sins, brought me to see, gave me a cry for mercy, gave me a cry for redemption. And the Lord did. He took my place. He showed me that he took the old trailblazer's place there one day. And I've been praising him ever since. And he gave me this call to come here over this gracious radio station, send out the call that he's still saving sinners, one here and one there. And my friend, then we can look for his coming. Oh, I know the world scoffs at his coming. They say he came on the day of Pentecost. They say he comes when you get saved. No, none of that. My friend, the Lord, this same Jesus is coming back. One day those blessed feet will touch the ground there at Mount Olive. Oh, listen, and the graves will be open. Oh, we discuss that often, how that the graves will be open because those who have gone on before will rise first. And then we, you and I, if you know the Lord, if you're saved, if you're still living when that day comes, we'll go up to meet the Lord in the air. Won't that be a gracious time? Oh, I've talked to dozens and dozens of saints who were looking for that because they'd come down to old age. But we're going to get into that in our next study. Now, this is the old trailblazer. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Would you remember to write to me and just tell me that you're praying for me and send me an offering? Listen, we hardly ever mention money on this broadcast, but it takes money to keep this old trailblazer on the air. Would you go back in the old sock and get $100 and send it to me? You can't take it with you, my friend. Let it get out the gospel. Remember, my mailing address is the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174.